show, and today we have me, Cherry,
and your overpowered girl, Chenna.
So we will be doing kind of like a social commentary because things have been going off lately, and it's crazy. Mad. We live in crazy times.
Literally on the brink of a war. That's crazy.
quite literally, like I can't, but like, is it just me or? But I digress. I'm going to add to your distractions. We're going to be part of your distractions. We're going to be talking about something light, nothing too heavy, because obviously I don't know if I can handle it right now.
Fair
it's
going to
be mainly Instagram problems, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to start with one and then I'll pick it up from
Let me go back to my Instagram. Sure.
Let me go back. There's been a lot. Oh, so this is the one I saw earlier on I sent to you. Do you know Toni Tone?
Mm-hmm.
What does she do, actually? Because I only follow her on Twitter, but I don't actually know what she does.
According to... Let's go on her Instagram. I mean, right? Because I don't really know. I think she's an actress and an influencer. I think that's how...
Oh, she's an actress? Say. I don't know.
I think she's been in a few things.
What?
She has a website. She is a content creator, a speaker, and an author.
Okay.
I guess she's not an actress. That might be someone else. But I think she's been in a few things. But maybe not. Maybe that's someone else.
She is an author. Bullshitter. Yes.
Yeah, she's
an author. Yeah.
Okay.
So she had this tweet a couple of days ago. She said, in 23 hours until I meet my long-distance boyfriend for the first time in person, why is my heart beating so fast? So that's the post she sent, and the people commenting, like, is even your boyfriend if you haven't met him? And she responded to this saying, people be like, but if it doesn't work out, well, then it doesn't work out. Why should the potential of failure in the future prevent someone from living in joy, for the moment? Some people don't exist in fear or worry about outcomes that haven't occurred yet. So I was questioning, like, do we do this all the time? Not just in relationships, but just in life in general?
Obviously, I have a crippling fear of debt, of failure. 100%.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons why our podcast has, we didn't start it earlier on, because remember, this has been like how many years coming, and then 2 years later we finally did it. Like, we planned this in 2019 and it didn't come to fruition until 2021. So my actual moving my job as well, like, that took ages and it should not have taken as long as it did. So I think
that's true, because you were so miserable.
Exactly. So speaking for myself, it was the fear of moving to a new place and it probably being the same thing, and me hating it and hating my life and hating growing up. You know, who knows? But she's right that you just have to go head on, and whatever happens, happens. If you fail, you fail. You pick yourself up and you get up and you do it again.
That's true.
Different results this time.
It's also the half of it. Like, people commenting, like, is there even a relationship? Like, people, like, hasn't even happened? Like, he didn't tell us. Like, should she have told anyone on social media she was dating someone? Like, it's no one's business. And if you, like,
I think she would.
Even with that, people just speak.
Because she didn't. She just said the first tweet. I don't know. She, like, should she have told her? I don't know, man.
I was following this tweet for like this thread for a while, and people were like, "You didn't even tell us you were seeing someone, let alone it was long distance." I was like, "Why is it your business? Like, why is it your actual business to inquire about her personal life?" And it's also the fact that
I'm happy for her, though.
People they seem so seeds of doubt into her relationship. Like, your problems aren't my problems. Let me do what I want.
Exactly.
Is it not so?
Oh my god! No, I completely agree. I mean, her life is her life, and if, you know, we all put our insecurities and fears onto other people, intentionally or not. And she's right. And she's done it now. She can't really take it back. It's out there. It's out there. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
They look good together, though, don't you think?
They do. when she was telling the host about how what they did for Valentine's, I was like, this is so damn cute of you, both of you. It was cute.
Remember when, I don't remember who posted it, and then I found his account. Why am I a stalker? Anyway,
did you go on his YouTube? His YouTube's just, it's random, but it's entertaining to go through.
He has a YouTube.
He had a YouTube link, and I went through it because I was like, well, you have a link, let me open it, like, it's public.
What, is he like an artist or something?
No, I don't think he's an artist. I don't think he's an artist. I just think he likes to.
What kind of content does he do?
It's very random.
Oh, he's in tech. Tech. I said tech first. Comedy, motivation, visual effects, fitness. Is what we about when we not in suits, right?
So you see how random his posts are on Instagram. That's literally similar to what his YouTube is like. It's just random things that he finds interesting.
That's fair. I mean, that's what you're meant to use Instagram for, and like social media and stuff like
that. Yeah,
people should emulate him more.
Or just post things they like.
He's living life, he's enjoying himself.
Yeah, they should be more themselves.
Okay, so that's that. Next one. All that's left is to see Alani's boyfriend. Finally, we need to know who your boyfriend is.
I know, right? Right? It's been teasing about it for such a long time.
Now we're waiting for Alani. I'm not serious. Who's next?
Well, people were mad at her, you know. Okay. They were like, you built a really, you built a whole business off of breaking up a relationship, and now you're in a relationship yourself. Like, wow. People are really.
Did you see her clapback? I loved her clapback. Really, no, people need to chill. Honestly, people need to take a chill pill. Like, Kulitanya, it's not that deep at all.
I'm just saying that people like. Like, even if she did build a business off that, what she said was very valid.
True. I mean, all she kind of does is just encourage women to be more themselves and to be in a relationship for themselves and to be present, you know, when you're being intimate.
That's true.
And to enjoy it. Enjoy your life is basically what she's saying. And for some reason, men are triggered by that. But no, not so.
It's because the flaws are put out in the open. Because the girl will be like, my guy's doing this. And she's like, why are you tolerating that? Move out. Move on.
And if anything, right? If anything.
They should move on.
Because she asked ladies questions about, like, compromising situations that they've been in. If anything, she's making men, like, think twice about their more own relationship with their women. Because
yeah, it's like, things like, just they like, should be thanking that, like her. Ladies, what's the most unhygienic place you've ever been in? And I was like, no, these men are filthy. Not changing, like, just simple things like having hand wash in your bathroom. They didn't have. I was like, yeah.
It's actually mad.
It's mad.
I couldn't even. What I wanted to kind of, I also wanted to talk about something else. You know the two girls in the bonnet that they had to apologize.
Who apologized?
Who gives? Yeah, well, they had the. Apologized on Snapchat. Who gives a shit? Like, why did this become like a thing?
What, apologizing?
No, like, why did they go viral for being in bonnet? Who gives a shit?
I guess some people saw it cultural appropriation. I didn't really see an issue with it.
I know it's associated with like usually.
Because they weren't doing anything apart from doing like that dance. That's all they were doing.
Dancing on TikTok. They weren't like trying to. Like, if they had the bonnet on and then emulated black women, then I'd have an issue with, like, made fun of black women for wearing it. Then I might have an issue. I will have an issue with it. But they were actually just using it and chilling. I don't know. The apology is itself.
I don't know why they apologize. Maybe some people felt triggered by it. Or like thinking that like white women shouldn't wear bonnets, but I didn't really see an issue.
I'm also not gonna read the apology because it's like, who has time for that? But it's so stupid, so irrelevant. Like, things like this just makes us seem like we're like a bunch of babies complaining for no reason. When there's actually other like racial issues and like racial injustices that we should be focusing on and talking about, we're talking about a fucking bonnet. I'm not mad, but like, what the fuck? Anyway, on to the next one, I beg.
This apology is long.
You're actually reading it.
Well, I didn't read the apology to begin with.
Yeah, I'm not reading it. I don't care. I don't think I care that much. It just wound me up why it went on Twitter, on Shadeborough, everywhere. Black Twitter needs to chill. I guess most people were actually also kind of saying, why are we seeing this as well? But apparently it went viral on TikTok, not on Instagram. So I'm assuming there's a young kid taking this out of context or something.
Oh, maybe. Well.
Next one?
Yeah. On to the next one.
Oh, do you want to do the ZZ Nicki Minaj one? That one's...
That's something. Where was it?
Do you want me to send it to you?
Was it before... Oh, got it. I've got it. So Nicki Minaj was basically saying women dress up for themselves, not for men.
You've got to read the actual tweet that Nicki Minaj made.
Sorry, she said, Miss Nicki said, oh, did you see the post where someone posted the Queen has COVID? And then someone was like, oh no, not Nicki Minaj. And she was like, not me, no. Queen Lizzie.
That was like, funny.
What am I seeing? Like, I was like, nah, people can't be actually. I mean, she does hold the title of Queen of Rap.
Yeah.
I was like, this can't be an actual person. That was
funny. That was actually funny.
Yeah. So Miss Nicki says, recently she's being problematic. So she said, dear men, women don't dress for you, don't do makeup for you, do the hair for you. Just like most of y'all only fuck for you and not women's pleasure, this is all for us. This ain't about you. Now go. Thanks for coming. She put that in capitals.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm here for what she tweeted.
She said, not only do we, just like you fuck for yourself, it was funny. And then Miss Zizi rebuttals as, she says, I wish women would stop lying to themselves. You do all this for both men and yourself. And that's okay. Gosh, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good for a man. It's as if the two can't simultaneously happen together. Wanting to look good for yourself and men. Stop this, please. Stop this BS. Listen, I love that look on man's face when I do things and he's like, you look good. When you can see, like, we can see the lust in his eyes. And so do you. Can't lie.
So do you.
I do. But yeah, I agree with ZZ. Like, we do both for ourselves and both for people to see. Not just men to see, but also for women to see. Because I feel like, yeah, I'm going to stick with that. I feel like we get breasts both for ourselves and both for everyone else, both men and women. What do you think?
I agree. But I think what she's saying and how people have taken it is the issue. So I'm going to assume that she's clearly addressing something in particular, because this is too direct and this is too, like, specific for her to not be addressing something specific that, I don't know, happened at some point. She said, women don't dress for you, we don't do makeup for you, and we don't do hair for you. It's very true. Most of us just want to look presentable or better than the next girl.
That's true.
Or at least somewhat on the same level. I personally definitely don't get dressed. I mean, it's nice when they say I look nice. It's nice. ZZ is right that when they compliment me, I'm like, oh, gotcha, thank you. But I don't actually get dressed so that I can get that compliment. Does that make sense? I dress however I want. As a result, you like it and you compliment. You get it?
Yeah.
I dress because I'm a narcissist. I know I've got, like, you know, a little bit of back, a little bit of front, and, you know, I'm feeling myself, you know?
Yeah.
If you like me and what I'm wearing, that is my business. That is your business, not mine. Because obviously I like what I'm wearing as well. Because I want to look presentable. I want to look pretty in my eyes, not in someone else's eye. Or at least when I go out with my friends, you know, I want us to look nice. I want to be flattering in what I'm wearing. I want to think that what I'm wearing is nice, not necessarily what someone else thinks about it, I think is what Nicki's trying to say. So people then made it seem like a feminist thing. You know how people like to jump on other people's bandwagon? They made it seem like, she's saying women this, women that. And I don't think that's what, like, obviously people want to make it like a, women, we don't do it for you, blah, 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 blah. but I don't think it's that deep. I just think she's trying to say that when I wake up in the morning and I want to get dressed, I'm not thinking, is my man going to look at me and be like, what I'm wearing is nice? I'm thinking, do I think I look nice? Does that make sense?
It does.
Like, I'm not going to change my skirt because the guy at work isn't going to think it's cute. Gives a shit. Is if I think it's cute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, if, okay, fair enough. Sometimes some women do get dressed for men's attention. But, okay, some women do that. But not all women do that. So...
I think they do. I'm going to speak on myself, though, because I can't speak for other people. Like, I know if I'm going on a date with my boyfriend that I'll give him options of things I want to wear first. And then he'll be like, oh, these are my options of things I want to wear. Like, which one do you like the most out of these options? And I'll just wear that. But first of all, I have to have chosen myself what I want to wear. No, I'm getting dressed because I'm going on a date and I want to look cute. No, I'm getting dressed because we're going on a date and I want to look cute, but I also want to know that he likes what I'm wearing too. So first things first, I check for myself. Do I want to wear that? And then I'll give him options of what I want to wear.
Where were we? We were talking about Zizi.
Yes, we were. We were talking about how we don't necessarily dress for the attention of men. We dress for ourselves. I like it, right?
I agree. Yeah. I don't think I have any more commentary in that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. So do you want to pick the next one then? Who's next?
For context, so this person says losing a friend for your boyfriend is wild. Insane, even. Like, find a balance how you are ready to lose out on your friends for a man. It's given idiot and so funny. Do you think these men are losing their friends for you? And she's right. Oh, listen, second page. Oof. The whole losing friend because you've got a partner will always be a deep to me because I've seen it happen so many times and to people around me. You can definitely be in a relationship and still make time for your people, the ones who love to say. But when you're in a relationship, you naturally become distant. How so? If you find a balance, that doesn't happen. Just say you want to be all for your man, and that's it. But when things hit the fan, which will, because that's what happens in a relationship, who are you going to call or talk to? Your shadow? I don't know. And just a reminder, I've never yet seen a man say, I'm distancing myself, my boys, for you, babe, because they ain't going to do it. One thing about me, I'm finding a balanced time for my man and a time for my girls. It's really not that hard. I completely agree with this, but this post and I was like, this can't be happening. This can't be a thing. Is it?
It definitely is. There are women out there who lose their friends because they think their friends is going to steal their man.
Well, then you need to reevaluate your relationship with either your man or your friends. Like, what makes you think your friends are untrustworthy, or what makes you think you so listen? Why do you find your man so untrustworthy as well? There's both sides to that question. Like,
that's, you know, true. I mean? Absolutely. Obviously, like, with this, okay, say, for example, I, you know, one of those people, I'm kind of, remember, I think I might have said this, that I might be one of those people who, like, you get with someone, and then everyone else kind of falls to the sideline. You don't necessarily intentionally not see them, but I can only handle one intimate relationship at a time. I can't. Like, does that make sense? Like, people can only handle
one. Even with having, like, only one intimate relationship at a time, like, okay, you're going to spend 80 to 90% of your time, or not even 80 to 90%, I'm going to say 60 to 70% of your time with that person. You still have 30%.
Assuming that you live alone, yeah.
Yeah. You still have 30%.
But if you don't,
with them, you should still have your own time for your own things, like, there's not going to be a time you're going to do everything 100% together.
True, but I'm not saying that I would do this, but I'm just saying, you work 9 to 5, right? At the end of the working day, I'm fucking tired. I don't want to go for days. I'm not like, I can't be arsed. So the only time I have is weekends, right? Yeah. So I've seen you, say, Saturday,
So Friday evening to Saturday. And then Sunday, most people have church. Most people have other things to do. Mm. What, you're going to start hitting your friends up to be like, let's hang out on a Sunday?
Why not?
Okay. I guess it's a thing. But obviously they have plans. They have things that they're also doing. So fine, you've got Sunday free. You hit your friends up. And you can't really drink because you've got work the next day. You can't really go too far away because how are you going to get back home when it gets too late? Like, you can't really do fun things. So to yourself, you're just thinking, you know what, fuck it. I might as well just spend the day for myself anyway because I need it. I've been spending my time with with my boyfriend this weekend, the next weekend. And then, I don't know, at this point, you have to book a holiday just to see your friends. You know what I mean? Like, life gets busy. I mean, I understand, like, maybe every now and then you'll maybe after working one day or maybe on a Friday night, you'll be like, oh, to your boyfriend, instead of spending Friday night together, let's do Saturday, Sunday, and then I'll see my friends on the Friday evening, which can happen and which you can definitely do. So I think there are ways around it, but sometimes some people just can't manage it. They can't manage having that many friends as well as a partner. Someone's always going to feel left out. Okay, take us for example, right?
Okay.
There are certain things that we can't do as often as we used to. Whoa. Because you have a boyfriend.
True.
Because you're going to have to see him at some point, right? And to be honest, that kind of works for me. Because like I said, I can only handle people one at a time. So in that sense, like, I'm okay with that. I just need to know that when the time comes, we will hang out. When we can get our calendars together, we'll definitely hang out. Maybe not as much as we used to before, but that's just growing up, right? That's just life. That's just what happens. Also, we don't live in the same city. If we lived in the same place, then obviously we would see each other a lot more.
Yeah.
But things aren't really, I guess, if you live in the same city with your friends, then you're a dickhead. Because definitely on a Friday after work, you can hang out. But then sometimes you have to hang out with your colleagues as well, especially on a Friday night. Yeah, I mean, depending on the culture of the workplace, you kind of have to. Like, at where I worked before, there was like a group of people who went to the pub every single evening.
Every evening. Like Monday to Friday, you're with your colleagues, not your friend, not your partner.
I mean, that's why they were all because they were all spending time together. Dead ass. How did I not see that coming?
It could not be me. You would get one evening every 2 weeks. That's as much visibility as I get.
I mean, you spend a lot of time with the people that you work with. Like, 8 hours, 5 days. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
So what do you think about
that? I feel like, in given that context of like working, you see them every day. Should you be living with your partner? Why can't you do your weekends, a weekend day, either the Friday or the Saturday, with your friends? Because after work, what are you doing? You're going home, you're seeing your partner. You're going to bed, you go to work next day, you see him is still there. But you know what I mean? Like, if you live together, I feel like you really do not have an excuse unless you plan to do everything with your partner every single weekend, which is unlikely because, as she said, men have their friends and they don't lose out on their friends for you.
That's true. That is true. I just think maybe women just need to, I guess, not invest as much time.
That's very true.
Well, no, they should still invest some time in their friendships as well. Because like this girl said, when there's problems, when you need someone to talk to, your friends are always there. And also, don't pick dickhead friends that you can't trust, innit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That if you can't trust your friends around your man.
That's just weird.
Evaluate, like, what do you not trust? Your
Why friends even or with your that man? For real. You know that whole thing of, it's not you I didn't trust, it's them. Fuck you, bitch. Like, what does that mean? Like, have you seen, like, I think I've mainly seen it in, like, films and stuff where they're like, oh, honey, it's not you I don't trust. It's her. Why are you friends with her?
I've seen it on Twitter, too. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it on Twitter as well.
What?
Like, it's like, I don't trust you. I just don't trust your friends around you, or I don't trust my friends around you.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't trust your friends. Oh, yeah, especially if the boyfriend is going out on a night out and he's going out with his friends, and his friend is a bit of a Lothario or something. They're like, oh, it's not that I don't trust you. I just don't trust your friend. Do you know what the guy's gonna say? Oh, I'm a man of my own. I can make my own decisions. My friends are my friends. What isn't that what they always say? What my friends do doesn't mean I would. Right.
Your friendship group everyone killed mobility.
It's too funny. Sometimes women treat men like they don't have like if their dick says yes, then their head also says yes. Like they don't have control. But you get me. You get what I'm trying to say, right? They're like, oh, it's like, well, fuck off. If women didn't have self-control, if people didn't have self-control, let's not just, then the world would just be, I mean, chaos. I mean, I like anarchy, like the next man, but there's a limit to everything. Anyways, so what we're saying, what's the conclusions on this? If you think like this, reevaluate your friendship group and try to be a better person.
That is very true.
And reevaluate your mind as well. Weird people.
And try and, as you said, try and find a balance. You don't have to see your friends every week if that's what you want. But you can see them once a month or once every few weeks.
And your friends also aren't even asking you to spend every single day with them because they've got shit to do.
Rubbish. That's very true. I've got their own life too.
I don't know if I sent you this one. Send it to you here. I saw it here and then I saw it on Twitter as well.
Oh, this one. I show you this one. I was dumbfound. I was like, oh wow, they are very,
that's cruel. What happened last year?
You know how they were giving out grade to pupils based on the area codes they lived in?
The fuck?
Yeah. And so people in less economically
developed in Margaret Thatcher's United Kingdom
got lower grades, and people who lived in more higher class economical areas got higher grades. And the whole, that was scandalous. But this post, so for context for people, says the government is planning to introduce for pupils who fail GCSE English and math be blocked from student, which is mad.
This is very stupid.
And it came from the Department of Education as well, which is insane, you know.
I'm going to assume that this is a headline and that there's more to it.
Well, what he says, as reported, says Department of Education spokesman said, higher education is an investment and we need to ensure that graduates are being rewarded for but they put into their studies with an educational experience and job that matches their skills to help contribute the economy. I don't know what he means by that, but I guess like he was saying, people do need to get rewarded for their efforts. But do you not think, so do you think he's trying to limit accessibility?
But also, what does fail mean? Is it like an F, like a U, for example?
Grade 4.
If you get a U, then why are you going to uni anyway?
It's a grade 4. I don't know what grade 4 is. In our stand.
Oh yeah, because obviously things have changed.
Mm.
Shit.
But
this is GCSEs though. Why not A levels?
A levels are also included. So the plan will include suggestions for students who do not get 2 E's at A levels or equivalents, or at least grade 4 pass English at GCSEs to be barred. So it's either one of those two. If you don't get your grade 4 GCSEs at English and maths, you can get barred. If you get 2 E's at A levels, you can get barred.
No. So if you don't get at least 2 E's, I think is what they're saying. That makes sense. If you don't even get E at A levels, why are you going uni for 2 of your subjects out of 3? Why are you going uni? Are you joking? No. I agree. Because they become a liability on the economy. And I'm sure that their time and their effort and their skills will be better spent on something else. Right? This seems feasible to me for some reason.
But what if they take a recess? What then? Does that mean the level of finance they get is going to be reduced because they have to take a recess?
It doesn't say.
I'm just questioning how it's going to
work. Yeah. That's what I was also thinking. Like, surely there are more rules to this, and there's more, like, obviously, there will be certain people who maybe fail English and math specifically, but everything else they'll pass. There might be those exceptions. So what happens then? What, that person doesn't get student finance? That's not fair. Excuse me. So I'm going to assume that there are exceptions to be made with this rule. Maybe I need to see statistics of students who fail English and maths, and students who fail A-levels get less than a U going to uni and becoming, and maybe going out to uni and failing as well, and also not being able to find jobs.
Fair enough. But even with that, the minimum requirement for most universities is a C grade, regardless of what career choice or degree you choose.
Or anything that you're doing, That's true.
So I'm to question that.
So like, is this kind of redundant then?
Yeah.
But some unis do take less than that.
That's true.
I mean, you do need, basic English. Like, you need to at least pass English, so that, because when you get to uni, it's not easy. You need to write reports, you need to do assignments.
That is very true.
I mean, in real life, I mean, I understand how a lot of people say, like, oh, how did trigonometry help me in life? That's not the point. It's the point that you did trigonometry, you learned trigonometry, you were able to stay up late and study. That forms character. That forms the kind of person that you are. And if you get tested and then you pass, it's a natural progression. Then that means you have the skills to be able to go to uni to do the same and hopefully pass, right? So if for those two very basic subjects, maths and English, you fail, then maybe you should chill and reassess yourself and where you want your life to head before deciding to go to uni. Because at the moment, it's kind of seeming like, oh, after school, the next thing to do is to go to uni. But there's apprenticeships. There's more courses out there these days that you can do that you don't even need a degree for. There's so many jobs out there that you don't need a degree for. You can work at Apple and you don't need a fucking degree these days. Well, I don't know about America. I'm just talking about the UK. You don't need a degree to drive a truck and they make peas. You don't need a degree to be a bricklayer and they make peas, boy. You might have to do an apprenticeship, but you don't need a degree to get a business. I mean, depending on what business you want to do, but you don't really need a business for that. You can go to college to become a hairdresser and then open a business because they'll teach you everything that you need to know. You don't need to go to uni, I think is what they're trying to say. So you can definitely still live a very, very good life if you fail maths and English. Who gives a fuck? Or you're just not going to get a student loan. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Other ways, like work 2 years, pay your own fees.
Exactly. Like, trip on these motherfuckers. Because even the student loan that they're on about, right, it's a liability. Because you're gonna keep paying it for the rest of your life.
Ain't that right?
So maybe they're trying to even help you to think twice about this stupid student loan. They're acting like it's some big deal. This country, you know. Also, people's outrage, I don't understand.
I think it's mainly because most people who fail English and math come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, and it's going to prevent them from accessing higher education because of that. Because private school teachers, private schools are like, I'm going to go to private schools in comparison to other schools, will drill in those things, and they will have more funds to nurture and invest in these students. Like, if a student learns a particular way, they can invest in learning that particular way. But in other schools, they might not have as much funding to be able to
do that.
Like, okay, to help students in that particular way. And it's not necessarily that student is bad at English or maths, or they're stupid. It's just that the way they've learned doesn't correspond with how they learn.
I also think that exposure is... I agree with what you're saying. You're 100% right. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of it that way. But to kind of add to your point as well, people who, I guess, are in a lower income bracket aren't aware of certain things that is available to them. And a lot of the time, schools also fail to tell them what is available. Because I don't remember one time in school, for me anyway. I mean, in college, they brought it up, but not in school, about apprenticeship. And And it, I think now that has changed. Because a few... So, because I know, like, a couple years after I graduated, it became a really big thing in schools to do apprenticeship. Because that's where Sam came from. Sam literally came right from school into an apprenticeship. Actually, three or four of the guys who were at my office, they were all on apprenticeship, and it was right from school, right from 16. So I think now maybe that's more of an option. They all went to like normal schools. I wouldn't necessarily say they were, okay, a couple of them are somewhat from I wouldn't say that they're from like a upper class family, or they're just from a normal family, I guess, with two parents who make normal money. Also, I should also say that I'm talking from a place of privilege. So maybe I don't really know much about it, but going back to what I was saying is lack of knowledge that, or lack of access to certain information that, but then again, most of the students who come from those backgrounds don't tend to want to go to uni anyway.
Not all of them, but some that do, it makes it hard for them to progress.
But
they might
that they're lower income, because you're right, the kid might not be stupid, the person might not be like a complete idiot, they just didn't pass a test.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely know how unfair those tests can be sometimes, because you can't really read to comprehend. And also in women, autism, they don't really pick it up sometimes, a lot actually, not just sometimes. Okay. You have a very good point. You've made a very, very good point. Because I'm thinking of a way that these people could combat this. And I can't really,
because even like...
But here's my point. Here's another thing. Say, for example, they fail maths, right? But they still get to go to uni. And they get low E's or E's or whatever at A-levels. And they still get to go to uni. They're going to struggle. They're going to fail. Because at uni, it gets worse. Nobody helps you.
But at DMU, they had a specific English and math tutorial group. If shouldn't you need extra help for that? They had that implied.
Did you go for any of those? Because I did. No. I did. And it's not at GCSE levels. Also, the majority of the people who took that course were international students, which is what it was created for, because obviously international students don't really know how to write reports, and it's not their first language, so, you know, fine. But it's not basic English and maths. They don't actually teach you how to write. They teach you where to use a comma. They teach you, I guess they teach you how to construct a report in a way. Which, fair enough. Which obviously is good.
Because I feel like, but, I can't speak on every uni, because I'm speaking on what I know.
Of course.
And so I didn't go to those lessons specifically, but I know should I have been needed assistance, that there was a place.
It was there. Yeah, that's true.
Because the other thing is,
carry on.
Like, if they're studying a specific degree, they would have probably got a high grade in that degree to be able to be on that course. So the issue isn't the actual knowledge basis of the course, it's just the way
the issue construct. Is the test.
Yeah.
I think you're making excuses for people too much.
You think?
Yeah. Because this would have to be someone who is very, very extremely, like, I don't know. It seems very unlikely that there would be someone who, like, in the grand scheme of things, I think in the amount of people, there wouldn't be a lot of people who would fit into what you're trying to describe.
Okay.
I think there will be more people who would fit into what I'm trying to describe. And for those people who fit into what you're describing, who are willing to seek help out, who are willing to learn and to improve their English to be able to get the support that they need when they do get to uni. But I also, so And for those specific people, I do feel bad for, because it's kind of unfortunate, and we should at least accommodate, we should definitely accommodate that. But I think that should it get to that level, they need help in a different kind of way, and hopefully that they find that. But for the rest, I don't think that they're lazy. I just think they don't want to apply themselves. It's hard to apply yourself. It's not easy. I am a perfect example of laziness and refusal to apply myself. We know this. At uni, I could have studied, but did I? I didn't. I wanted to dance. I wanted to go to Mosh. And I wanted to go to Fat Cats. I shake my ass on the dance floor. I made my choices. Like, do you get what I'm saying? I mean, when I was struggling, I knew what to do. I knew that all I had to do was to study a bit more and I'd be fine, which was what I did at the end of the day. But I knew that I was missing my financials, financial accounting lecture on a Friday or on a Thursday morning, because on Wednesday is injunction night. And you know what that means. Injunction night is for fun. And Thursday morning is for sleeping. I declare. And as a result, my least performing exam was financial accounting. But I'm not mad at that, because I know what I did. If they ask me in an interview when they see my transcript why, I would say I made a choice. You can look at the other ones. The other ones are 80s, 70s, 60s. Just that one. And I would tell you why. Right? So yeah, I was like,
I just chose the other ones that was a high
priority. I chose happiness. I would not lie. I chose happiness. I would lie.
I wasn't out like sleeping. No. I was in a library by something.
But no, because then they'll be like, what? You just don't understand financial accounting? Of course I understand it.
Priorities.
My priorities were just different, exactly. Like, I knew with financial accounting, I have the basic knowledge to pass a normal exam. So I wasn't too fussed about it. I decided, it's okay. The thing that I was worried about was management accounting, because no matter how many tutorials I go for, how many lessons, classes I go for, how much I study, if I didn't do those things, I know that I wouldn't pass. So I had to do those things so that I could pass. Going back to what we're talking about, I have come from a place of some kind of privilege, and I don't want to take away from the people who obviously have it worse than I do. But if I got my results, my GCSE results, and I fail maths and English, that's a problem. I need to reevaluate I would have reevaluated my entire strategy to what I wanted to do in the future. Coming from me, I want to do accounting and finance. How the fuck am I failing maths and English? Problem. But if I want to become a psychologist, then I don't really give a shit, right? It's just, well, for maths, but for English, you need to write a report for your clients, right? You need to, when you get to uni, you're going to have to do a dissertation. You can't be failing English. If you want to become a nurse, you cannot be failing English. If you want to become a bricklayer, you can't be that bad at maths. You have to at least know basic maths, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they deserve student loan to be taken from them, by the way. I'm more talking, should they be going to uni? But I think what the government is trying to do is pose that question to the public. Should they be going to uni? Which was why they tried to encourage apprenticeship. They tried to encourage, I don't know. All I know is apprenticeship. So now they're saying, well, since you didn't listen to us, you still want to go uni and shake your ass and do injunction nights, we're not going to give you student loan, because they don't have money for it, basically. And this pandemic that we have enjoyed with all your followers and follow.
Have we enjoyed the pandemic?
Well, I haven't enjoyed it. These people that took furloughs enjoyed it. So they've taken your money for uni. Governments don't have money, is what they're trying to tell you. They're trying to tell you.
They've been telling us for a while with this whole rise in it, like what's it called?
National insurance is going.
Yeah.
There's like, no increase of personal allowance, which I was praying for. I have a rise in pay. But I calculated it. There is no increase for me. You know that, right? Because now student loan has gone down to 25K, which obviously I make more than that. But before, it was like 10 pounds that was coming out of my pay. Now it's going to be more. And I'm pissed. And then national insurance is going to go up by 1.something%. So it's going to go, it was 12% before. Now it's going to be
13.something.
That's the same as employers' national insurance. Jesu Christi. Employers' national insurance is 13.25%, I think.
Yeah.
So it's going up to the same as employers' national insurance. God will punish Boris Johnson. I'm sorry. But that is a lot of money in my pay.
No, it is. Because I was looking at it. Like,
national insurance of 100 and something to 200 and something. You know that, right? In some people's pay, in some people's pay slip. And then, on top of that, inflation.
Yeah.
Inflation. I mean, right. They now, say, you know what? Like, inflation.
Yeah.
Nah, it's actually stressing me out. And then you have to pay student loan on top of that. And then you have to pay rent. What if your parents are fucked hard? You live alone, you're fucked. Imagine you live in London. Nah, you're fucked.
Thank the Lord, I don't.
And when you come out of uni and you do normal job is paying you 18,000 as a start. In out of London, I'm not talking inside London. Just London is different. But as a general, 18K, 19K, 20K.
That's the standard rate. Starting
rate. Yeah, that's about standards. So how are people going to live? Because they haven't raised personal allowance. It stays the same. But living standards, living rate has gone up. Everything is more expensive. There's barely any access. Rent has skyrocketed. Talk about saving for a house. What? You'll be lucky if you see a house to buy. My sister's looking for a house. And decent places are starting from about 250. And for you to be able to afford that, you need about 40K income. And 20K of deposit.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to cry.
Yeah, exactly. So now tell me how to add on top of that, yeah, student loan.
National insurance, don't forget that.
Because no. This country's, everything's fucked. Because you would be better if you start working from, the way I'm thinking about it anyway, if you start working from 16, you don't have any loans, you go into an apprenticeship, they're paying you barely anything. And hopefully you still live with your parents because you can't leave on apprenticeship wage at all. No, you
definitely cannot.
They pay you like £3. You know that, right?
£300 a month. Yeah. Hour.
Rubbish. So you can't live on that. So you have to stay with your parents. Fine. So you go uni. You get student loan. Maintenance? Well, for me, it wasn't anything. I got the basic 3,000, but some people can get more. But just know that if you don't get a grant, that maintenance, you have to pay it back. So you're compounding your loan. There's the £9,000 that you have to pay for your tuition, and then on top of that, there's the ridiculous rates for student accommodation, which have you seen those lately as well?
No, I have not.
You should ask your brother where he pays.
Because my brother was silly though. The place he's renting out is a 5-bedroom place.
But still, you still have to rent somewhere. Rent is like five. Okay, say you don't go to normal student accommodation. Say you go to like a normal accommodation. It's like £500-£400. Say you're lucky and you go to a town, a smaller town, and you get a small room. Let's say 350. Because for my room, I was paying about 350. I still need it to work to be able to afford that plus food plus other things. So it's going to be tough. And if while you were a student at home, right, when you were not working, you did not pass English and maths, and you were at part-time job, socializing, studying on your own without your parents telling you what to do, ooh, that's going to be tough for you, right? Yeah. Is it just me? That's going to be very, very tough, very hard to do. I feel sorry for the next generation coming. I hope they're luckier than we are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm low-key jealous of them because they get easy grades, especially them.
Well, even with that, though, what I've heard from people who are graduating this year, that employers aren't taking them as seriously as they should.
Really?
Because they're giving grades out so easily, it's hard to distinguish who actually earned those grades and who actually doesn't deserve those grades. Because if everyone's been given favorable grades, it's hard to distinguish who amongst the favorable grades actually deserve that favorable grade for them to rate. Because what the employers do use, sometimes they will use your grades as a sin, filter out. But if everyone's getting similar grades, employers are like, well, what am I going off by? Because I have nothing to judge.
True. That's actually a fair point. You know, another thing that's fucked as well. Just because you went to uni doesn't mean you're going to get a job.
Very true.
After, as well.
That's very true.
You will probably struggle. I've been extremely lucky. But for most, I know that that's not the same. But for a lot of people, I know that that's not.
Yeah.
So imagine having that student loan just looming behind you. But if you haven't not passed GCSEs, haven't not really passed or not really passed your A levels. So basically, and let's say you barely scrape by at uni, you know, like pretty much if you get a 2-1, there's a lot of jobs you can't apply for automatically. Sorry, a 2-2. Automatically, you're out of the running for a lot of jobs.
That's true.
Because the requirement is a 2-1, like minimum 2-1. So imagine having a shitty GCSE, a shitty A levels, and a shitty college uni degree. You're gonna then start doing apprenticeship after you've gone to uni and all that time and all that money. Come on. I mean, I understand. I think what I'm trying to say anyway, to make this story short, is I understand what the government is trying to do, and there is no way to cut down on the people that don't need to be going to uni, well, who then become a liability in the system. There's no other way apart from what they've come to deter those people. But then it's also a disadvantage to people from lower income households. So I guess the next best thing is, what's the solution to equaling the playing field? Because someone like me, for example, I'm not upset about, they will definitely be able to go to uni.
Maybe it would be for them to equally fund other schools, not just, and the private schools are obviously funded by the parents because they pay for that service, but they might have to invest more into secondary schools.
How they do with primary school kids, where they give them like vouchers, like the bursary thing. Maybe if parents want to give tuition, if they want to hire like extra tuition for their kids, then the government can give them some kind of bursary towards it.
Yeah,
help out with the costs, which would also in turn help out student teachers as well, because they can put student teachers on those tutoring things, so they can gain experience that way. Look at us helping out the world. The chairman for president. Chairman for prime minister. Lol.
Raw.
No, because like,
I still can't believe they don't have enough votes for no confidence. So they don't have enough signatures for a vote of no confidence. So a vote of no confidence means that they have no confidence in the prime minister. So they have.
Oh right, you mean they wanted to boot Bojo out.
Yeah, but they have no signatures to call that vote to go in place. Like, you know, acting mad,
right? And my mom was like, "Oh, they're threatening to get Bojo out." I was like, "That's not going to happen. If America couldn't get Trump out, nobody's getting Bojo out." You know what Bojo done? I mean, the report, he's handed in his report for the whole Partygate thing. And
he was like, I was only there for like 10 minutes. I didn't even know it was a party. I was like, how 10 whole minutes and you don't know it's a party?
That's what the report he's handed in to the police people now.
And you know, so his wife had audacity to say, like, it was a surprise party. He didn't know it was going to be there. I was like, but you knew it's a party. So. Yeah. Which part of this makes no sense to you? Like,
his head is not gonna roll. Also, I don't think we need someone stable as a prime minister right now. I think someone as crazy as Bojo to handle someone like what's his name? Putin. You know what? I low-key wish that Trump was still in the seat, because Trump would have to have had interest in Ukraine, and I don't think he really did.
No, from what I saw, Trump and Putin were not friends.
yeah. So probably, maybe...
He'd be like, oh, let Russia do what I want to do.
I don't know. This whole world is turning into something I don't even recognise. But on to the next topic. This has been way too loaded. The next one. Is does your partner's fashion taste matter in a relationship?
Yes, is my honest answer. Basically, if you're in a relationship that attracted you to your partner, it's obviously how they look. Yeah. So you would be like, okay, I like it, I can live with this, or you'd be like, nah, ain't for me, move on. One of those two.
I want to, because obviously when it comes to everything, I can be objective about certain things, but sometimes I choose not to. In this instance, I would choose not to. Take me, for example. I dress for comfort majority of the time. I do not give a shit about...
But even with that, people who like you, regardless of, like, the...
Yeah.
Okay, dress is like this. So, okay, I accept it.
But why would you even be in a relationship with someone who you don't like the look of?
I don't know. You have to ask them. But as I said,
okay, for example, you go on a date with a guy, right? And he's dressed in a way that you don't like, because obviously fashion is subjective, right? So you personally know that you don't like the way he's dressed. Will you take, but what, maybe he's a nice guy. So women then take that into consideration.
Yeah, maybe they do take it into consideration, but I feel like even if there has to be a level of attraction. It has to be. You cannot build a relationship solely based on personality.
He's a nice guy. No, that exactly. That can't be.
No, I don't think it's possible. I feel like there needs to be a level of attraction. Therefore,
how about this one? When you met him, he was top notch, and then he kind of let himself go a bit. His fashion sense fell to the 2020s, and now is the 2030s. You know. What then?
Then I would do what I normally would do. I had become passive aggressive. Like, oh my goodness, remember these things when you used to wear like this? Oh, I like that. Passive aggressive. But passive in my mentioning.
But like, he likes what he's wearing. Like, he thinks what he's wearing is nice. But you just don't like it anymore because your tastes have grown.
You pose a very good question.
I mean, it's literally the same thing. People change and people grow. You either grow apart or you grow together. And if you grow apart, I don't think a fashion.
I don't think it's a deal with a guy, but I feel like you learn to accept it or you.
For who they are.
Yeah. Because even like a lot of people during lockdown gained weight just because we were drinking a lot and not moving enough.
Yeah.
Through two things. And so you notice that about your partner, and whether it bothered you or not, that's up to you. But you had to learn either to accept it or move on
from it. True.
Yeah.
What does the question even say? Sorry, 1 second. Matter. Does it matter? So you're saying that it does.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely
end all of different relationship, but I think it does play a part in your attraction to the person.
Yeah, and there's also different levels to it as well.
Yeah.
Nah, but like, all I could just think of is like, What if your man becomes that uncle? I'm just realizing how much your environment matters when you come to this country.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? I'm just trying to imagine, like, if I'd come to the UK and been in London, I would have hated it so much. Like, my life would have been hell. Like, as much as I love London, I can't stand it.
Yeah. As I keep saying, London is a great holiday destination. It couldn't be a city I lived in. Only short term. But it's a fantastic holiday destination.
It should be. London is kind of like steak. Like, you can't have it too much, you know? And it can't be too rare. Like, it's got to be well. Otherwise, you're going to get food poisoning. You get me, right?
I get it.
And depending on where you go, it's too expensive. Actually, it's just too expensive in general.
Yes, yeah. So,
let us know if you guys would like to hear more of these mini hot topics. And then we'll try maybe to do it. But we'll definitely be going back to our TV series, films, and anime schmink soon. We just wanted to take a break because I've been watching Euphoria, and boy, oh boy, I am excited to really dig into that. We had that conversation earlier on this week, and I just loved how deep I went into each character. Like, you know that conversation, like, I want that again. Like, I loved that so much. Like, well, that character, like, feeds it a breakdown. I was living for it. So, I'm excited. That's a conversation for a later date, don't worry. Okay. Don't worry about that.
I will.
I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Let us know any topics you guys would like us to cover. Let us know what series or anything you'd like to know. You can send us a message or anything. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook actually. Twitter at The CU Show, literally everywhere, including YouTube. Yeah. Oh, and also if you want to send an email, just send an email to info@thecushow.com. That's it.
Yeah, that's been peace out. Yeah.
Enjoy yourselves, you crazy people. Bye. Bye.
Hi, this is the CU Show, and today we have me, Cherwe.
And your overpowered girl, Chenna.